So over the last few weeks, I'm sure like many of you, I've been getting into some new rhythms, some new practices, some new patterns as part of being at home more often. One of the things that I've been doing a little bit of is working with Aislinn as she continues to stay in shape for her synchronized swimming team, who's not able to meet or swim together. So the coaches have been sending out a lot of workout videos or charts for stretching and things like that to follow along with. And Aislinn's been working really hard to make sure that she does some of that multiple days a week and pushes herself and hopefully doesn't have a big drop off for being out of the pool for a while. And I have to say that a lot of these have been very difficult on me when she's asked if I can do them with her. These are videos of little 12-year-old female super gymnasts doing crazy things about flexibility and their core and everything else. And whether you are watching on Facebook or listening in on the phone, you can probably guess that those workouts do not work out very well for me. I look really silly, and I can't do most of the things anywhere close to the way that they're modeled on what we're following along with, but I've done my best, and Aislinn works really hard. But one of the things that we do see as we've been doing that together is something that happens naturally when we push ourselves and do something even that's different or challenging and takes us out of our comfort zone with exercise. And that is that I've seen Aislinn go, in particular, me, admittedly not so much, from doing those at first and having it feel really challenging, really push her, make her feel really worn out by the time that it's done, maybe have some of the things that she can't quite do exactly the way she sees it on the videos that we're following along with, to then as she does more practice and gets more time in, that her body adjusts. Things begin to feel more normal, even though they were very foreign right at first. And she gets into all of these new rhythms, all of these new capacities. And for me, I have to admit, you know, on the other side, the trick can be that there have been times where I haven't been able to join her. She gets set up, and then I go do some other things for work or around the house or helping her brother. And so I step back, and my body, I mean, it was bad in the first place, but it does not adjust and has not gone the same way. And I've become more conscious of how can I maybe have things go back to my more relaxing state of being a little bit more. And many of you who have probably gone into new exercise regimens of different types have experienced those same types of things, where it starts out very hard, our bodies adjust, and we come to kind of a new thing that we're used to, but then hanging over us always also is that time where, well, now that I'm doing really good at that, maybe, you know, I've also been thinking about doing better with the food that I eat, and so, but now maybe I should get a cheat day, or I've, you know, been getting pretty sore, I want to have a few days off, and then you find yourself going back to normal and not doing some of the same ways of pushing yourself, and so then when you want to get back into it, it becomes really, really difficult. And having built up that rhythm made a difference. So to me, this is a really interesting metaphor for what our experience, at least for me, and I imagine for many of you, has been as we've gone through this COVID crisis, and in particular, our shelter-in-place experiences. For those of you who may actually be essential workers and continuing to do more things, I would guess that your rhythms are similarly stretched and changed. So for some of us who are sheltering in place more, it feels really weird at first to stay at home, to figure out how to work at home, to spend more time with our families and find new things to do that when we can't go out. But over the last few weeks, as that has become more of our common experience, we've probably started to feel lately like, oh yeah, I kind of know what this feels like. I've gotten into some new rhythms. I'm used to that. Hopefully, if you've been having to work a lot, that while things have been, I imagine, really strenuous and difficult, and thanks to those people who are doing it, who are pushing themselves, but that also there might be a degree to which your body and your mind have responded to that stretch, and you're seeing amazing resilience in yourself and in your coworkers, and things are starting to feel like, oh, this is what I'm used to now. And that's something I think that's just a normal part of being human, that we can be pushed, but then things start to feel like we're used to that a little bit more. And then we start to think of, will I go back to normal? What will that mean if I take steps back, or if I give my body a break, or if I do something differently again? And I started to notice some of those things in our community, especially over last Easter weekend. How maybe the first few weeks of all of this, there was a lot about just, okay, we've got to catch up with all of the new rules. We've got to figure out all of our new things. We've just got to get the lay of the land while things feel really crazy. But then it started to feel maybe a little bit more normal, and we start to notice new things. And for me, a lot of those things had to do with, like our scriptures this morning, our relationship with our bodies. Cohen had his birthday last Saturday, and we went over to Grandma and Grandpa's house to do an egg hunt and get presents around their yard. But there was no hugs, no touching, staying far away from Grandma and Grandpa that whole time, who just watched them run around the yard from their porch. And that was really different for them. They normally love to hug and cuddle with and share things really closely with Grandma and Grandpa. And some of you have probably had those same experiences with your family. When we were on the Zoom call for our Easter service, I heard so many times the idea that it's so good to see someone's face, that even as we've been trying to stay in touch, commenting online, doing phone calls, that's just different than at the very least being able to see each other's bodies, and that much more that we still can't do handshakes or hugs at service. As people are starting to think about transitioning, I think many of us are becoming more conscious of putting gloves on or masks on when we go out. And while that's important and that changes how we're used to being in our bodies and being seen by other people, seeing other people who are wearing those things, it's not enough. And so we also have to be very careful. And we're often reminded just wearing those things is not enough. You still have to not touch your face. Make sure that if you're touching something that you're really careful with not putting your still gloved hand onto something else where you might be transferring things. And that awareness, that strictness almost about our bodies and how we use those things we so often take for granted, I think is an adjustment for many of us. I think I've been having conversations with people too, talking about, especially if you're at home, what it's like to be having these new rhythms that are really different, and you know, how often are some of us showering if we can just roll out of bed and get going? How much are any of us, you know, changing out of our pajamas instead of putting on something that we might otherwise? And again, that's part of our relationship with our body. We're feeling more relaxed, and that relaxedness might be helping us cope with our circumstances, but it's different than our normal rhythms and the things that we normally do. And also in the last couple weeks, I think there have been a lot more stories coming out about the experience of people who are on the front lines and the extremes that they're going to protect their bodies and the bodies of others. The strain that working double shifts puts on people, trying to keep up with the demand in our hospitals and healthcare facilities, or as delivery drivers, or people in restaurants or grocery stores, that it's just extra and it puts that strain on their bodies. And hearing stories of how people have to come in and stay more separate from their families, even if they're able to go home, or do entire, you know, cycles of laundry and showers before they can see anyone or talk to anyone or be even close to proximate with people who they even share the same house with. All of these things we're getting more and more conscious of, our connection with our body, that so often we can take for granted if it's not sick or if it's not making an embarrassing noise or something like that, that a lot of times a lot of us take our bodies for granted. But this is a time where we're not going to be able to do that. And even as we go closer and closer to normal, part of what is probably going to linger is that our relationship with our bodies and our ability to connect with each other physically is going to be one of the things that changes the most and stays changed for the longest period of time. And so we don't get to take those things for granted that we might sometimes otherwise. And interestingly, whether we think about this or not, I feel like Easter and the period immediately following Easter is really helpful in our faith for thinking about that relationship with our body, that relationship with each other with physical contact that proves to be so valuable and so meaningful to us as social and, I think, spiritual beings. We see that especially mindful of Easter in our scripture that Aislinn just read so well from John. This is one of the passages about Jesus after the resurrection that is most visceral, right? A disciple who wants to actually see and touch Jesus' resurrected body and the changes to that resurrected body. The scars of having nails put through wrists. The scars from a spear stabbing into Jesus' side. I know that for a lot of us, thinking too much about the resurrection of the body can be a little bit tricky. That level of potential miracle can seem very far-fetched in an age of science, and sometimes we feel like the only thing to look at when we talk about Jesus' body is this a litmus test? Is this a measurement? If I think I have to think of it existing this way in order for me to be seen as a Christian or not, and for some people who might struggle with that a little bit, that can feel excluding and difficult. Other people may not have that question for their belief, but sometimes we can just get stuck on saying, well, I believe this thing, or I'm happy that Jesus was raised. That means that there's new life, and we just kind of move on to the next thing. But I really believe that all of these passages within Scripture are not just about us looking at some information and absorbing it or struggling with it, but that we can find deeper, important meaning for the ways that we live our lives, the choices that we make, the values that we hold, if we're willing to look carefully at that. And this story of Jesus presenting his body to Thomas, I think, is especially true and is important for us, especially in this time, as we might be seeing a connection between Easter, new life emerging from the cave, and those transitions of going back to normal after being sheltered in place for many of us. What will it look like to go back to normal? Is that like a new life that we can see an inspirational message with Easter? But if so, what do we learn from Scripture and the meaning behind those passages that help us do that in a faithful, godly way? I have to admit that this is a passage that often shapes a lot of how I think about our connections as people. It's been a little bit weird for me the last few weeks to have Facebook live streaming and phone calls as the main ways that we connect. Because I really take seriously that sense of not only that we would be virtually connected, that people would watch something or listen to something or sing along with something or whatever it is on their own in their own space, but that God brings us together in common space. That God, the same way that God came as Jesus in a body to be as closely connected to us and touch people to heal them, share meals with people to give them belonging, all of those things that are very visceral and physical, that was so important to God and helps us value our own experience that can sometimes feel on earth like it's a struggle and we want to somehow be separated from it, but that God is with us. I really value trying to make those physical connections. And it's going to be weird the less that we can do that. It feels strange to me in a spiritual sense that we're not able to hold on to that to some degree. Maybe for some people it's not something you think about a lot or it doesn't seem like as big a deal. But for me, it really is. And this passage is another one of those that makes that especially true. And while I don't think that the lesson that we should take from this passage in light of my own struggles with that sense of valuing physicality, even within our spirituality, is that we should go around flaunting guidance and, you know, handshakes, hugs, whatever else all over the place. I do think that bodiedness of Jesus is something to pay attention to, however we believe that it worked. See, in particular, what I think is important there is that the connection between Jesus and his disciple was especially around Jesus' scars. That those things that might seem like the biggest failure, the biggest shame, the thing that you'd want to hide or have people overlook, or if you had the opportunity to just heal over and show, see, that thing that you did to me had no impact whatsoever. That those scars become central. That those scars, even in Jesus' body after Easter, are held onto and meaningful and important for Thomas's path towards new life going forward. To touch those, to encounter them, to understand them, and to use those to frame the way that he continues to interact with the world as someone who continues to follow Jesus, even in these new circumstances. You know, it really could have been that we looked at Good Friday and going into Easter as just, ugh, that was like a really tough weekend, you know? But think about all the years that Jesus had before and all the amazing ministry and healings and miracles and teachings and everything. And then, you know, the soldiers did that thing, but then he rose from the dead and healed everything. And we barely even have to see any of the effects of it. That could have been the way that new life was framed for Christians. But instead, as Christians, we need to encounter that sense of the scar, the impact, those ways that the world so often does inflict harm on other people. And with Jesus' scars, we see that God associates and empathizes and experiences most with those people who are oppressed and harmed. We see that God is willing to take an impact on God's self in seeking not the eradication of people who would oppress or sin, but forgiveness and change and transformation and newness by holding on to those lingering reminders of what we can do to each other that even God was willing to step into. And I do think that those scars then are something to stay in touch with. And during this time, for us not to just move forward when the time of transition comes and saying, let's try to forget everything and move past everything that was scary for us, that was embarrassing about how we tried to deal with it, but that to follow Jesus' body, that we are willing to be in touch with the scars that we experience personally and make sure that those are seen and taken into account and used as part of how we move forward in new life, and then also that we see and respect the scars of other people. We see and respect scars at a social level and make sure that we are helping people remember and learn and not be ashamed, but be willing to move forward in a way that honors and takes into account even those things that were most difficult for us in this experience. I picked some other passages about bodies today to help us think about that even more holistically as well. The passage in 1 Corinthians about how we're a body of Christ, I think, is really encouraging right now when we can't be physically in the same space, that God's Spirit holds us together as one entity, not only as a local church, but as all people who are trying to follow Jesus together. Typically, though, I think what we end up focusing on is the encouraging aspect of, well, we all have different gifts. Some of us are like eyes, some of us are like ears, some of us are like hands, some of us are like feet, some of us are like elbows or noses or who knows what. And God values all of that and brings us all together and makes us more than the sum of our parts. And all of those things need to be given their chance to serve and to show love and to be part of God's mission. And that's true and that's really important. But very rarely do I hear lifted up and remembered the same way the passage that we read today, talking about how in the body in particular, one of the things that's an element of that doctrine and that metaphor is that those people who are considered normally less honorable are given extra honor. Less presentable are given the context in which they can be seen with dignity. That those people that can often be overlooked are lifted up and given special attention. And again, this is a time where I think we've been forced to face as people and as a society that that's something that happens. And that COVID is bringing it out. And that that's something that as Christians, as God's body, we would have a stake in making sure that we transform that. You know, the disease is impacting people who are poor more than it's affecting people who have a little bit more financial stability. It's affecting people of minority ethnicities and races more than it's impacting people of the majority Anglo race and ethnicity. It's impacting people in jobs that often we take for granted or see as not being very valuable jobs, some of whom are figuring out how to do this without even having health care provided for their job, even while they're putting their health at risk, that don't have child care easily arranged for or affordable under their salary. And there are people who are especially vulnerable in prisons, in nursing homes, in other facilities that we're having trouble protecting the same way that we protect other people. And I don't think that there are easy, obvious answers for any of this, but I do think, again, as Christians, as we think about our connections together, as we think about the way that we can be God's body through God's Spirit, this is another thing that we can hope to do to live out that Easter vision of new life. That part of it is that we see, as Paul would ask us to, those people that are normally seen as less valuable, as less honorable, and that we make sure that they're lifted up, and that they are cared for the way that they need to, and that they don't stay on the margins like they might in other cases. And especially in our own relationships, while we may not be able to change overnight all of the big picture things, that we can be mindful of that, especially in our own connections and the things that we see and the things that we honor and the things that we try to support. And lastly, again, we see that same type of spirit lifted up for Naaman. Some of us have not been super impacted by this quite the same way that others have, who are on the front lines, who are getting sick themselves, who have had their own experiences, even unrelated to COVID, changed because maybe another healthcare issue has not been able to be treated the same way because doctors have their attentions put somewhere else, right? But some of us, we're sheltering in place, that has its impact, but the urgency, the risk, maybe hasn't felt acute. And we can relate a little bit to Naaman. And Naaman wanted to see things change and have him be fully healed again, back to normal, fully participative, which we can definitely empathize with. And yet, his posture was that, I really don't want to go to these Israelites that are not as good as me from this other culture. I need to have the king or the prophet come to me directly and acknowledge how important and special that I am. And then when I'm told what I can do to be healed, I don't want to do anything that might feel silly or beneath me. And so I'll just dismiss it and try to come up with something on my own. We need to be able to be the types of people who would learn, like Naaman did, thinking about our bodies, thinking about our lives, where we're able to maybe say, I'm going to have to put some of my comfort, some of the things that work well for me, to the side if full healing is really going to come. It's not always an easy thing to do, but that's something that I think God, again, lifts up to us, that as we try to live as faithful people, that we have to be willing sometimes to say, it's not just about what's most comfortable for me. I might have to do something that's different, that's silly, that's weird, that's embarrassing, that makes things easier for someone else besides me. all of these things we can see when we think about our bodies, when we think about our physical connection to each other. God does show us these examples that we can learn from for how to be faithful and how to see healing fully for ourselves, for those around us, and even for our society. So I hope that as we are each in our bodies, in our own separate spaces, not able to connect the way that we normally do, the way that we're used to, the way that we like, as we think about all of the next steps for either sustaining this as a new normal, even as tiring or uncomfortable as it can eventually feel, or if we start to transition back together as a new normal, we as God's people have the opportunity to have God really guide us in how we respond and move forward, to speak to each other and encourage each other for how to do that not only individually, but as a family, a church family, through God's guidance that we can see in Scripture and that we've seen in our own experience with God's presence in our lives before. And we can even offer that as an encouragement to people who are going through difficult times, as a reminder to people who are in positions to make decisions, that that's a valuable perspective to take into account and can make a difference for people who we want to see stay safe, stay healthy, be taken care of, not be vulnerable that way or forgotten or overlooked like maybe sometimes has happened before, or not have the experiences of others forgotten as new plans are made. And so any suffering, even any death, is essentially taken for granted or doesn't have the meaning that we would expect it to if we're going to show it that value. There are lots of ways that we can think of, both personally and in our connections with each other in the broader world, that God can show us how true healing comes and how we participate in that. And so I encourage you that if you have been feeling vulnerable, speak up and be willing to show us your scars so that we can take them into account and how we move forward together, and that that's not forgotten or overlooked. For those of us who have not had scars impact us the same way, let's be willing to listen and to respond and not just do the things that feel easiest for us. And hopefully we can ultimately give value to people who are sometimes taken for granted and not seen as valuable. Give honor to those people who are forgotten or have been considered dishonorable. Give the chance to thrive to those people who are less presentable, as the Bible might have framed it, or as people might be able to say, that everyone is given their chance to thrive and be fully healed. And that's true about our personal bodies, how we're willing to be honest about our experiences, and it's true about our relationships and our connections. God wants us to value our experiences, ourselves, even not just relationally, not just spiritually, not our gross divine product of good works. Those are not the things that God cares about only. We saw, because God took on the body of Jesus, that God cares about our bodies, our experiences, even that personal, even that visceral, even potentially that uncomfortable. God's love goes to there. God's answers goes to there. And so I encourage you to go home, or stay home, go out into the world in that spirit.